have a question for you. Are you ready for Passover? Are you ready for... That's the message today. Are you ready for Passover? You know, we just listened to 17 verses, actually, that really was talking about getting ready for Passover. Getting ready for... What's the first thing you do? What's that?
Clean the house.
Well, first thing really is you got to pick out a lamb. And you know, the children of Israel, most of them kept some lambs. If they didn't, they had to go buy one. But you know, I want you to know something. I don't know how many of you... I'm going to tell a story, and you're going to think it's really strange that I would use such an animal, because, see, now I grew up in an unkosher household. We didn't know about kosher at all, and one of our mainstays when it came to meat was pigs. We had pigs. But I just happened to remember, as a young boy on the farm, that one day there had been a pig. He had spots on him. I remember this pig. He had spots on him. And for some reason, you know how kids are. You didn't play with pigs, or I didn't, you know, but nevertheless, you kind of picked them out, and certain ones seemed to kind of, you know, seem more special than other ones. Even farm animals, that happened. And as a kid, I remember that there was this one spotted pig, and I liked him. And lo and behold, one day I went outside, and there the guys were with a .22 rifle. And my poor little spotted pig got slaughtered that day. And they butchered that little pig. And I can remember a big knot right here in my throat. Now, I said all of that, telling you an unkosher story, to illustrate what went on in kosher households. In a Hebrew household, this pig was raised around the family. Or this lamb. Excuse me. We're getting off pigs now. This lamb was raised around the family, and this was a lamb in the first year. So that means it was, you know, pretty much full grown, but it was still, you know, it had been a lamb for a long time. A lamb, you know, gets pretty good size in a year's time. But nevertheless, they keep it. Now, the second thing they did was they took that lamb out of the flock, and they brought that lamb into a special holding area. Some people try to tell me they took him in the house. I don't believe that, personally. It just doesn't sound like they probably did. But, you know, the way houses were then was more like farms, because they had pens nearby. I believe they took that sheep, and they put that sheep close to the house, and then for 4 days they examined it carefully. But what happens when you examine a little lamb for 4 days? You get even closer to that little lamb. Do you understand what I'm saying to you? Now, this begins to sound cruel if you don't think about what it really is to illustrate to us. That the Lamb of God that takes the way the sin of the world is one that is we're very affectionate about, aren't we? And so they began to grow in affection, and for 4 days they examined that lamb. And the reason they examined it was they had to make sure that it was without spot, that it was without blemish, that it had no flaws, that it wasn't sick, that it didn't have any kind of problems, because the sacrificial lamb had to be a lamb that was examined and pure, illustrating one that was perfect and without sin. And so they did that. They took that lamb and they examined it for those 4 days. Then, now you understand that takes some preparation. If you've ever been around animals, you know you have to do things differently when you've got one living right up by the house where you can keep close eye on it. And they did that. You keep it, verse 6 says, Exodus 12:6 says, you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. You get it out on the 10th, keep it until the 14th day, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. They shall take of the blood and shall strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorpost of the house wherein they eat it. Now, we're up to the time of the evening, but now you realize we have to come down a ways and read some things, and Debbie brought this up. Because beginning in verse 15, it tells you what is going to happen afterward, but there has to be preparation beforehand. Do you understand what I'm saying? There had to be some preparation beforehand. So here we are in the 14th. verse, the 15th verse. 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. Now for those of you that don't keep track of Jewish calendars, this coming Monday in the evening is Erev Pesach, or the evening of Passover. So that's when the lamb would have been sacrificed, would have been on the evening of this coming Monday. And I will tell you, if you happen to get hooked up with some groups that commemorate the barley harvest in Israel very carefully, that you may find some varying dates. And you might get confused and say, well, how come this calendar says this and this calendar that? I'm going by the standard Hebrew calendar that most everyone uses. But there are a few people that don't. And so if you see that, and maybe you have one of those calendars, you might be saying, well, you're not right about that. But that's the reason we're on the day that we're on. Most people will be on this one. So they take the leaven out of their house. What is leaven? Yeast. Okay, so it's yeast. And what does yeast do? Puffs up. And what is it significant of? What does it signify? Sin. Sin, pride. That which puffs up, sin. And so the Bible's talking about doing something here, and that you've got to do an examination to do it. Now, how many know that the Jews really take this seriously? In fact, just to show you, I had Henrietta find me a feather today. They'll go around with a feather, and they'll go into their cupboards and their shelves, and if they find any leaven, they'll sweep it in. Now, this has become a little ceremony that the father of the house will go with the feather after the ladies of the house have cleaned it, and he'll sweep that last little bit out, put it in a handkerchief, fold it up, a napkin, and take it, and they burn it. They burn that to get rid of the last vestige. But the point is, if you're cleaning with a feather, what are you doing? You're taking pretty close examination, aren't you? Now the scripture tells us, in Psalm, I believe it's 139, says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me. Now, I didn't want to just talk about sin today, but you know, we've got to think about it when we begin to talk about Passover time. Is it right that we would wait till just a few days before Passover to get the sin out of our house? Well, of course not. That's foolishness. That's foolishness. And yet, once a year, we can come to a place where we let our examination become more focused about making sure. You understand what we're saying? You can come to the place at that time where you make sure. It says, 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. From the first day, you're going to put the leaven out of your house. How important is it? Whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day till the seventh, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That's pretty big stuff, isn't it? It's not good. Now, we're talking about it today, so, you know, I personally believe it's a good idea for us as saints to give it some attention. How many know you learn by parables? Jesus did a lot of teaching with his parables, didn't he? Why? Because he could take something that was natural and get a very important spiritual truth into the inside of us. Amen? He could cause us to go from the place of looking at just what he was talking about naturally. He talked about sowing seeds. And he said the condition of the soil is so important. And we learn so much about how important it is how we receive the Word of God from that teaching, don't we? Well, like manner, these things that God did with the children of Israel, and I believe they were to do them specifically and physically, but they were not just to be taken that way, they were to teach them much more. You understand that? They were to teach them so much more about this. Now, there may be somebody here today that said, hey, you know, wait a second, isn't this a Christian church? Somebody came in here one time and caught us dancing to Hebrew songs and singing some Hebrew and speaking the Shema and stuff like that. And they said, I just want to check it. You are Christians here, right? And I said, yes, we're Christians. We're definitely messianics. We definitely believe in Jesus. We know that there's no way to salvation except through the blood of Jesus. You cannot make your salvation any better through observing the feasts. Doesn't make salvation better. No, this is something we do as a result of being saved. After we're saved, the Bible said God has created us unto good works. And I had to stop a long time ago and say, well, what are good works? It's not what people think are good works. In fact, Jesus came against some of those, didn't he? It's those things that are written in this book that are done word and spirit. That's how you keep away from getting into the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. See, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, that's illegal knowledge because that's word, but it's word without spirit. And what does the Bible say? The letter killeth, but the spirit gives life. And so as we looked at these things, and we're talking about these things, someone might say, well, you know, we're a Christian church. Haven't we been delivered from all of this? Have you ever heard that? Anybody ever hear? We've been delivered from all this law stuff. By the way, what is the law? And what does Torah mean? That doesn't mean law? Oh, okay. All right. That's right. Torah does not mean law. Torah means instruction. That is the literal meaning of it. Therefore, you know, how could we even say that the instructions of God have been done away? Foolishness, huh? If a God who never changes would never do away with his instructions, would he? Somebody said, yes, but he has different covenants. Well, if you'll study with me, you'll find out that the covenant that started in Eden is still in effect today. And around it are all of the other covenants that have been added up until the time of the Brit Hadashah, the new covenant, the New Testament, and this is the better. This is the final improvement. And it still, as far as I'm concerned, still goes clear back to Eden. It still goes back to Adam. It still goes back to what God promised Noah. Still goes back to the Mosaic Law. All of it comes together. Now, somebody said, well, what about the 613 commandments then? Do we have to keep them all? I got good news for you. You can't. And you never could. And the 613, some of them couldn't even be kept except by a Levitical priest. Some of them. You understand that? And no, we're not going to be offering any sacrifices. We're not going to kill a lamb. Would be all right if you wanted to. In fact, Jonathan called last week and said they actually are going to roast a lamb on a spit down at their Passover dinner, which would be quite interesting. But we understand that the lamb has been sacrificed. Amen? And there's really no need to sacrifice other than for teaching purposes, for showing what's going on. So at any rate, 7 days, and the verse 19 goes through it again, 7 days there shall be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. You shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread. And we've talked about the cleansing. In fact, that's where spring cleaning came from. Did you know that? That's where the spring cleaning ritual has come from. We all talk about it. I'll be right honest with you. It's never been something that I practice as well as I should. But it is something that, that's how it got started. Was around Passover time. That's what they were doing. They were cleaning. And what were they looking for? They were looking for leaven. You have any leaven in your house? Yeah. What does it take to have leaven in your house? Yeah, many of your cereals, many of your crackers, that's right. I'm going to tell you something. Probably if you have a can of broth in your house that you bought, a can of beef broth or chicken broth, it probably has yeast in it. Probably does. Now, somebody's going to say to me, well, what about all of this? You know, what do we do? I mean, how can we be sure? And, you know, we're not trying to get legalistic, but what we are trying to do is start trying to focus. If you want to know what I do, I don't eat raised bread during this time. I eat matzah. I like to, in fact, we made some matzah the other day. It's hard to make matzah. Did you know that? It's really the simplest thing in the world. But boy, I mean to tell you, if you did it rabbinically, you take your flour. First, you have to buy a special flour that had never been close to any moisture. You take your flour, about 4 cups of flour and 1.5 cups of water, and you start a timer. And just as you pour the water in, you start in 18 minutes. And then you knead like crazy for about 10. Until you get that all kneaded up, so you got 5 minutes to roll them out into little cakes. You get them pretty thin. Put them on a cookie sheet at about 450 to 500 degrees. Or you can put them on a stone. And you poke holes in them. And then you put them on the stone and let them cook for about, it takes longer than they say. We leave them about 7 to 10 minutes, something like that. And watch them. They'll start to turn gold. You'll see the bruising. You all know the story of matzah. Matzah is so, precious because matzah has the piercing. Jesus was pierced for us, right? It has bruising. It has stripes. It has all of the pictures. So, I mean, it's a wonderful picture. But you can eat matzah. And you say, well, does it really matter? Well, I like to do those things that God says to do. I don't demand them of anyone else, but I like to do them. I like to stay away from those things that are puffed up during this time. Now, I'm going to stop for just a second and talk to you about that 18-minute deal. I'm going to tell you, I don't believe that they were concerned about that in the early days when they were coming out of Egypt. Do you? Now, think about it. They're on the road after the first night. They're out on the trail. I don't believe they were concerned about getting it done in 18 minutes. And I don't believe God says that it's going to raise up if you happen to let it sit longer than 18 minutes. I'm not concerned about that. What I'm trying to tell you is many of the things that we hear and we get hooked up with. And by the way, if you've been around the Messianics as long as I have, you'll meet a guy one day and he'll be Ray Jones. And the next day he's going to be Yohanan, some Jewish name. And I don't believe in that. I don't wear the kippahs. I'm not against kippahs. I'm not against you changing your name to Yohanan if you want to. But that's not what I believe God wanted us to do. He didn't want us to become Jewish. He wanted us to be biblical. Say biblical. Biblical. Take the Bible and see what it says. 7 days. 7 days. Well, what's that about? Well, imagine what would happen if for 7 days every year we just had a focused time of taking an examination of ourselves, checking ourselves out for 7 days. And we're not just leaving the raised bread out of our diet. We're not just leaving the cereals that have yeast in them out of our diet. By the way, personally, I don't care about broth. I don't think God cares about broth. I don't think the fact that it has a little yeast in it is going to concern Him at all, personally. That's what I think. You may be much more convicted about those things, but I'm not. I believe that there was a specific thing that He was trying to cause them to see, and it had to do with their bread. How many of you have eaten challah? How many of you like challah? Well, we don't eat it at Passover. But it is good, isn't it? But you know what? It reminds me every time I eat it of what I'm doing. Every time I eat matzah, I say, I'm doing something here about sin. I'm doing something here that has to do with examining myself, keeping a close watch on this heart of mine, as Johnny Cash said, right? Keeping something going on the inside. And so that's what I believe we're supposed to do. Somebody said, well, that's what the Jews do, and we were delivered from that. But we've already talked about it. It says even the strangers that attach themselves. And I don't know how you feel, but I feel like I'm attached to Israel. I love Israel. I've never been to Israel, but I love Israel. I'm going to go someday. In fact, I may spend most of the millennium in Israel. Unless the Lord has other plans for me, I'll probably spend most of my time there. But we know this, when it says you shall eat nothing leavened in all your habitations shall you eat unleavened bread, that he's talking about a cleansing that goes much deeper than the feather. and much closer to our hearts than the feather can get. We're talking about something that only God can do when he begins to point out. Now think about the way we are. Think about how quickly we judge someone else. Anybody else here have a problem with that? It's just so easy to just see what someone else does, and we see it so quickly, and these bitter root judgments set into our life, and boy, this is a good time to get delivered from all of those things. If you find yourself thinking, if you can't carry on a conversation with someone without getting into talking about what somebody else does and your opinion about it, then you know you've got some sweeping to do. Amen? You need to do it. If you think about your problems as problems and other people's as sins, you know you've got some sweeping to do. Amen? And this is what God tells us to do. But we know this is our Passover, and 1 Corinthians 1:2 says, unto the church of God. See, I'm reading this to you because I want you to know who the Holy Spirit used Paul to write to the Corinthian people in 1 Corinthians 1. This is his salutation to that group. He said, unto the church of God. Anybody here belong to that church? Yes. Unto the church of God which is at Corinth? No, you don't belong to that one, but you belong to the church of God. But listen, it goes on. To them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place. Well, that would even include Grand County, wouldn't it? Every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Say all saints. All saints. What's a saint? What is a saint, though? We are, but what is a saint? That's right. Everyone that's separated unto God through the new birth is a saint. It's not a little plastic statue on your dashboard, right? It's you. You're a saint. Every saint is a minister. Each and every one of us. So here we are now. We're the saints. To those called to be saints. To all saints. Now if you jump on into that letter that he wrote to them in the 5th chapter, he begins to deal with something. But I had to go back because it's easy for us to just look, well, this is written to just certain people. No, it's written to all who are called to be saints. It's written to every one of us that's born again. Y'all born again? Anybody here not born again today? Anybody? Because if you're not born again, we got to stop now and get that done, right? We can't take a chance. The rapture could come before this is over with. 1 Corinthians 5:6 says, your glorying is not good. You know that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Who's Paul writing to? I mean, what's he writing this to a bunch of Christians for? To a bunch of saints? Well, because he's letting us know that God still considers that leaven is an important thing for us to get out of our houses. What's he talking about? Your glorying is not good. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. How much leaven is a little leaven? And how much leaven does it take? How much leaven does it take? How many of you have ever used any sourdough? How many of you know it doesn't take much to get a starter going, right? It takes some time, but it doesn't take long. A little leaven. How much yeast do you put into your challah? About a what? About a teaspoon. Yeah. Not very much. Not very much. I usually dump a packet and scoop a little off. Depends on where you live, doesn't it? But living up here, we have to learn to cook a little different, don't we? Bake it different. So what is a little leaven in our life? What is a little leaven in your life? What would you classify as a little leaven in our life? I think this is important that we get this. How much is a little?
Too much.
It's too much. And what would determine what that little is that's in your life? The amount that you choose to allow. Right? You know, it's easy for us to look at some kind of sin, especially. You know, we can look at something and like I say, when we sin, so many times, if we're not honest with ourselves, we justify or we rationalize or we say yes, but you know, I can't tell you how many times people say, you just don't know what my life's like. And so we rationalize what we do, especially if we're feeling hard toward someone else. A little bit, just a little bit, is too much. Just a little bit is too much. Paul goes on, speaking by the Holy Spirit in verse 7, says, "Purge out, therefore, the old leaven." Purge out. Who can do that? Who can do that? Well, here's what people do. "Lord, help me to get rid of this sin. Help me to... Lord, take this sin from me." No. You read it wrong. You purge it out. You have to do it. You have to be the one to do it. You say, but is it wrong to depend on God? Well, it's certainly not wrong to depend on God to show you where it is. But I'm going to tell you, the choice to get rid of it's really all about you. You choose to purge it, to get it out. Just like when you go through your house and you begin to look in your cupboards and you find things that you say, now that's puffed up. That's food that I wouldn't think would be right to eat at this time. And you might check your label and say, but I'm going to get that out. I'm going to take that out of my... I don't even want to see it. Because challah tastes good. I don't want to be tempted with challah at this time, right? I don't want to have sweet rolls around at this time because I like sweet rolls. So I'm going to get them out completely. I'm going to purge them out. But then while I'm doing that, I'm beginning to think about, sometimes I like that self-pity I get into too. Sometimes I really... it makes me feel good to just kind of compare myself with others. I just thank you, Lord, that I'm not like this publican over there. You didn't think I was a Pharisee, did you? But you see, we do get that way, don't we? And we don't like to admit it, but sometimes we feel that we're just a little bit superior to other people. Well, see, that needs to be purged out of us, that you may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. What is he saying? You are unleavened. Say, I am unleavened. So if I allow any leaven to get in, that's up to me, right? I've got to purge it out because I am unleavened. It says, for even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. That's for all the saints. Therefore, verse 8, let us keep the feast not with the old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. So we begin to get a picture of what leaven looks like in our lives. Malice, say malice. What does malice look like? Not a word most of us go around talking about a lot, but most of you know what it is, don't you? Malice. What is malice? Ill will? Malice? Mal means bad, doesn't it? Mal. So let's not keep it with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread. In other words, don't be overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good. And let's get sincerity and truth working in us. Matthew 16:6, just to go on with this thought. Jesus said unto them, take heed and beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. We all know about Pharisees and Sadducees, don't we? We've talked about them for years. But I think most of us don't see ourselves along that line. By the way, I have to tell you, I've done a little study about Pharisees. And you know, if it hadn't been for the Pharisees, there might not be any Torah today. These people were really people that guarded the book. They guarded the Word of God. They had problems. But Paul was a Pharisee. And he had problems, didn't he? But he still called himself a Pharisee after he was born again. I'm of the strictest sect. I'm a Pharisee. So I just want you to know that every time you hear Pharisee, you don't have to think totally negative. But I also want you to know there is a negative side to it. And I find some of that in me from time to time. Leaven. The leaven of the Pharisees. Now the Sadducees, on the other hand, these were people, the Tzedakim. These were the people that didn't believe in angels. They didn't believe in spirits. And they didn't believe in resurrection. What's the line that goes after that? That's why they were sad, you see. Yeah. But we understand that, you know, that they would probably represent more of a liberal theology than most of us, I think, would ascribe to. But the Pharisees would be like a lot of us. And, you know, sometimes I can remember, getting very, very legalistic with my demands on other people. I can remember doing that. I think anybody that's gotten into studying the Messianic a little bit and the Hebrew roots, sometimes there's a tendency to step a little too far right at first. Have any of you recognized? Rosemary knows what I'm talking about. I've seen it. I've seen it over and over again. And it was what a little bit of what I was talking about, that people will change their name. And, you know, the whole thing about the trappings that don't necessarily come out of the Bible can start to be what we begin to work with more than what the Word of God says. Now, in the 12th verse of the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus goes ahead and talks a little bit more about this. He says, then the disciples, because you remember he had talked with them about bread, have you brought any bread? And they thought he was talking, you know, about the Pharisees because they hadn't brought bread. And in verse 12 it says, then understood they how that he bade them not beware of the leaven of bread, but the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And what was their doctrine? What was the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees? Well, it was a little different as far as what we were thinking about, but yet there was this side, this doctrine, this teaching that put a lot of stock in what could be seen. The washing of the hands up to the elbows, that was very important to them, you see. And by the way, I'm not against washing hands. I like it. But Jesus did tell us that that's not the thing that makes a man clean. The Bible does say, who will ascend his holy hill? He that hath clean hands of what else? A pure heart. So we're for that. But you see, what they got into was the outward appearance. The outward appearance. And then in verse 4 of chapter 16, he answered them and then went ahead with this discourse about the leaven of the Pharisees. He said, a wicked and adulterous generation seeketh after a sign, and there shall no sign be given unto it but the sign of the prophet Jonas. Was Jesus against signs? No. What is there? What's a problem? What's a problem with signs? If your faith is built on signs, you're in trouble. Did you know that? Your faith has to be built on the Word of God. It has to be built on what He says. Signs did happen in under Jesus' ministry, but He wanted to let them know again that what you're looking for is always what you can see. It's always what you can see, and that's a wicked and adulterous generation. What do we know is required of us? Remember, we're talking about getting leaven out. If you demand always to see a sign, if you've got to see something, if you're demanding something, that's wicked and adulterous, Jesus said. So the Bible says, there it is right there. We walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith. And if you want to please God, how many want to please God? What are you going to do? Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So we must walk by faith and not by sight. Luke 12:1. I don't know if you heard me say it. Luke 12:1. In the meantime, when there were gathered together an innumerable multitude of people, insomuch as they trode one upon another, He began to say unto His disciples, first of all, beware ye of the leaven of the Pharisees, which is hypocrisy. Now, you know, it's easy to come to church and hear these things and think, oh, those Pharisees. But you know, I'm not thinking that today. I'm thinking about me. I'm looking at me. What part of me is not? What part, you know, I think it's the Amplified Bible that every time hypocrisy comes up, they say, actors on the stage of life. How much of me is just an act? You ever think about that? How much of me in front of you am I up here today just, you know, posing because I think, well, this is what the pastor's supposed to do? You've got to ask those questions, see? Or am I being genuine? Am I being honest? Am I being truthful? We all have church faces, don't we? We know about those, the sanctified faces. But you know, what really matters is what we really are like on the inside. What we're really doing. Hypocrisy, all external. No inward purity, just Jesus said, you know, inside there's bones like the bones of the sepulcher, and there's death. You got a beautiful white exterior. I don't want to be that way. I want to have the inward purity that comes only by the blood of the true Passover lamb. This is talking to Jew and Gentile, right? Talking to both. Acts 15:9 says, he put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. And that happens when we trust the Passover lamb. God redeems and purifies by the blood of Yeshua. That's the only way you can get purified, right? So what do we do? Well, let's go back to the picture now. He said, you take the lamb and you slay it. You slay it on the 14th day at evening. And then he says, I want you to take the blood. He said, go get you a little bit of hyssop. And you could find hyssop around in the Holy Land at that time. Apparently you could find it in Egypt too. Find this hyssop and just take the blood and put it on the mezuzot. That's the doorpost, the mezuzah. We have a mezuzah on our door back there, which is a little thing with a case with the Word of God in it. That's called a mezuzah. So you put up the blood on here. And you know, that seems strange to us when we talk about blood on the mezuzot and on the lintel. That seems strange to us. But you know, that didn't seem strange to people in the Middle Eastern customs. Even, you remember one time Jesus was talking about the people saying, we'll not have this man reign over us, talking about a parable about a new king that came in. They said, we'll not have this man reign over us. Well, it was kind of normal in those times that kings changed often. And the kings would go out with their armies and find out who was going to be loyal. You know, what caused problems was insurrection. So they'd go find out who was going to be loyal. And one of the things that came up, even in ancient times, was when the new king would come in your area, people would go out and put blood on the doorposts and the lintel to say, we're going to be in covenant with you. We're going to be in covenant with you. So they knew about this. So when God told them to do this, this wasn't something that was totally new to them. They put it there. But you know, if a little bit's good. Now, I'm thinking like I think. If a little blood would be good, you know, you could go out there and just say, well, this is pretty nice wood. I think I'll just put a little on here and then clean it off later. No, not me. I'm going to splash it on good. How about you? I'm going to get it good. In fact, there's going to be enough that it's going to start running in a trench along the front of my door. Now, it gives you a picture of the blood, that we enter through the blood. We enter through the blood. When you read that, when God says, when I see the blood, I will pass over, what have you always thought? Well, see, I have maybe a different view than some of you do, because I don't believe that God's a death angel. I believe that the death angel is someone else that you don't want to get in touch with. But I believe the blood of Yeshua protects us from the death angel. But God says, I will pass over. And that's always been a little bit of a strange thought. Well, if you go back to the analogy of the king coming, when he saw that blood on the doorpost, he knew these people were saying, we'll be in covenant with the new king. And so when he saw that blood, he would... Where's the house? There's the house, okay? When he saw the blood, he would pass over into the house and stay there with the people. And then when the death angel came, he couldn't come in. Now, is that accurate for our understanding of what he does for us today? Yes. That fits perfectly, doesn't it? Because God doesn't leave us alone with just blood. When the blood comes, it not only is on the doorpost, and by the way, where's the house? What house are we looking at nowadays? Our temple, right? Our earthly temple. And so the earthly temple now is covered with the blood of Yeshua. And where is Yeshua? Did he pass on? No, he came in, didn't he? He's come into us to dwell with us. And I believe he'll be here on Tuesday night to eat that Passover dinner with us. Do you believe that? I believe he's going to be here with us at that time. I believe there's going to be something good that happens. God redeems and purifies through the precious blood of Yeshua, who gave himself, Titus 2:14 says, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous for good works. Apply the blood. The blood of Jesus is applied on me. Man, I don't want any sin in there, do you? I don't want any leaven. I don't want anything that's going to foul that up. So we begin to look and we begin to search. We ask him to help us find it. But we don't expect him to get rid of it. We purge ourselves from it. 1 John 3:2 says, now, beloved, it says, beloved, now we are the sons of God. It doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him, do you have that hope in you? Do you have yet that hope? What do you do then because of it? Look at verse 3. Every man that hath this hope in him does what?
Purifies
himself. Would that be a getting the leaven out? Purifying ourselves. Purifying, purging ourselves from everything that is unlike him. How does this work? It works by washing by the water of the Word, doesn't it? We take the Word of God. I'm going to tell you something. There's a lot of things that just through being a Christian, I didn't know God doesn't like. You know, I got to tell you something. We put a Sedeca box back here a while back. I always knew it was good to help people out that were in trouble. But you know, I don't think I really realized until I began to study the Hebrew roots that God really wants us to take care of the poor people. I said, he wants us to take care of poor people. He wants us to help the widows. He wants us to help the orphans. He expects us to do it. And I don't believe he expects us to do it in such a way that it's so meager that it takes three churches to help one person. I'm talking about things where, and this is a vision. You know, this is something I believe we're to begin to do. I believe we're to begin to help people and take the place of secular government welfare. I believe that. I believe we're supposed to do away with the need for something that's so poorly run as government welfare. People that really need it never get it, it seems like, and other people know how to work the system and get it big time. But you know, I believe the church would know how to do it, don't you? Why? Because the Holy Spirit would show us. So we have a Tzedakah box back there. And I always tell people, if you're going to put a check in there, let us know. But we're not jumping into that box every week to see what's there, but we're building it up and allowing it to build so that we can help people. I see the day coming when we may pay off somebody's house. Pastor, are you for real? Does anybody else see that kind of thing? Could you see that somebody, you know, we're always hearing about people losing their homes. They're losing their houses. They lose their cars. Why should it be that way? The church could make a payment for them if they're down, couldn't they? Church might just pay it off for them. Wouldn't it be something? You need to read the book of Acts again and see that they followed this. But you see, I didn't know that was sinful for me to just say, well, let the government take care of it. Until I began to read God's Word and study what He says about it. So we've got a Tzedakah box. I like to kid people around here because now that I've got white hair, how many of you know that the Bible says when a man with white hair comes into the room, you're supposed to stand up? And they still don't do it. But but you know, what is that saying that's been lost in our society? It's saying that eldership should be honored, that we should honor the elders among us, the older people among us. And by the way, I'm not one of them yet. I'm just middle-aged. Bob Alexander and I hit 60 and we both said now we're middle-aged because we believe God wants us to live to be 120. You know, you go talking like that most places, and people look like you got a screw loose or something. But I believe that. I believe that's what God said to Noah. After that, the years of a man will be 120. And you say, but it's not happening. Well, why isn't it happening? People start talking old when they hit 50. Well, I'm old now, you know. And that's the way we joke all the time, you know. Well, my vision's gone, you know. My joints are stiff. I don't talk like that. I talk like the Word of God says. Because I believe it's sinful for us to say things that's different from what God's Word says. That's what I'm talking about. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. I'm just about through with this. Give you some opportunity to talk back to me. It said, we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, beloved brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. The sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. I'm still talking about getting leaven out of your life. How are we going to do it? We're going to make use of these things that God's given us. The sanctification of the Spirit. I got to tell you, when I begin to study Torah, really look at the Torah and really study what Torah says, some of those things that I had fought with for years, and you know, I don't know if any of you know what I'm talking about. Maybe I'm the only guy that ever fought with some kind of a sin that it isn't a sin that I'm doing, but it's something that's continually tempting me, continually bothering me, continually, the old timers used to call it besetting sins, the sin which does so easily beset us. And those temptations, and I think, well, you know, I think I've got victory over this, and then all of a sudden I'd be caught and see it was coming back and tempting me again. And when I begin to study Torah, some of those things just absolutely just dropped off. They just dropped off. I just began to say, well, you know what? It's clear here that God doesn't like that. And once I saw the clarity of it, you see, we used to teach it kind of like without the word. You know how it's kind of like that, don't smoke, don't chew, and don't go with the girls that do, that kind of thing, you know. That was the kind of, but you see, that's not Bible. That's not Bible. But then I began to find out what the Bible says about what is sin and what really needs to be taken out of our lives. And it really all boils down to, if you get down into maybe one word, it comes down to selfishness, doesn't it? That self-centeredness, that I'm important and nobody else is. My way of doing things is somehow anointed. You know, we get that attitude sometimes. What I do and what I think, that's anointed. And what everybody else does and think, you know, that doesn't matter. That's self-centered. But see, here it says, God's chosen us to salvation through the sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. You've got both of them working together to drive those things out of our life and to help us to see that when we spot them, what do? Say, well, one of these days I'm going to get rid of that. You ever catch yourself doing that? One of these days, you know, boy, I'm gonna take care of this. No. Take immediate action. What do we know about obedience delayed? What is it? It's disobedience, isn't it? If you delay, once God shows you something, if you delay it, guess what? It's disobedient. And 9 times out of 10, if you delay it, it's going to be harder the next time you encounter it too. Did you know that? So we need to take care of it as soon as we see it. Take immediate action against your old nature. See, we're new creation. Amen? How many know you're a new creation? And the leaven of unrighteousness doesn't belong in you. We read it up here. You are unleavened. That's what you are. You aren't a leavened person. You're an unleavened person. And so you need to get that leaven out of your life. Paul, speaking to the Galatians by the Holy Spirit, says in Galatians chapter 4 and verse 30, nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. Who can tell me what that means? Came out of Genesis 21:10 originally, but what was he talking about? Who's the bondwoman and her son? Come on, y'all know. Just tell me who that was being spoken of specifically in Genesis. Yeah, Hagar and Ishmael. Cast her out. Well, that's a horrible story, you know. If you read that, that rends your heart, doesn't it? But did you know it had a deeper meaning? And this is what Paul's talking about here. What was Ishmael? If you were going to just give me a few words to define who he was. Ishmael was, and I'm not meaning, but just go ahead, just brainstorm a little bit. Who's Ishmael?
He wasn't the son of promise.
He was not the son of promise. He was the son of?
Figure him out yourself.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The son of the flesh.
The flesh.
The flesh. He was the son of the flesh, wasn't he? And so if we've got the son of the flesh, you say, why would you make us think like that? Because when you think like that, you will remember. You'll remember. The son of the flesh. So cast that out. Sounds tough, doesn't it? That's how you've got to treat leaven. That's how you've got to treat sin in your life. That's how you've got to treat those things of disobedience. That's how you've got to treat the self-centered part of you. Cast it out. Cast it down. God's given you weapons to do it with. He didn't leave you alone in it. You can't do it by yourself. But you can't just stop and say, well, Lord, you do it. Because He won't. That's not the way it works. You purge yourself. You cast it down. You cast it out. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that exalts itself above the knowledge of God. Taking into captivity. Do you see how proactive that is? That's just grabbing things. And you know how, you remember the scripture that says the violent will take the kingdom by force? That's the way we got to act. Violent doesn't mean just violent like violence or terrorism. Doesn't mean that kind of thing. It means those that are active and going to take care of things. Cast out the bondwoman. The son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. The son of the flesh. The flesh is not going to reign in life with you as a son of God. You've got to cast it down. It's important that we do it. I'm asking you, are you ready for Passover? That's how we get ready for Passover. Every year we get to do this again. And you know, I've been at this for a few years now. In fact, I was looking the other day. I think it's been 8 years that we've been celebrating the feasts here now. And every year, it's almost like starting from scratch when I start to do it again. I know the story, but you just got to start over again because it's been a year since you've really looked at it. And we want to get the telling. And every year I've been trying to get this down to where it's biblical. And every year I find myself, you know, back in all of a lot of the stuff that are done because you just, you know, we're working on it. We're working on it this year. You say, is it wrong to do the whole thing? I don't think it's wrong at all. Don't get me wrong about that. I believe it's fine. In fact, I think it's a very teachable kind of thing if you go through the whole thing. But I'll tell you what. A little kid has a rough time with it, don't they? It's tough. And it's a lot of adults do. In fact, one man told me one year, and he'd been doing it longer than I have. He said, I don't want my kids to remember this like, oh no, it's Passover again. And sometimes, you know, it can get that way. But it's not supposed to be. Remember what we call it? We call it a feast. It's a feast. God loves parties, doesn't He? So then, brethren, Galatians 4:31 says, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. So let me tell you what we need to do. We need to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Messiah has made us free. And don't be entangled again in a yoke of bondage. Amen? That's what we need to do. We've been called to liberty. And whom the Spirit, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And whom the Son sets free, He's free indeed. Amen? That's a fact. Praise God. Would you stand with us? Praise God. I'm going to ask today, is there anybody here that needs ministry? Anybody that needs ministry today? And if you've got something to say about this message, we are not formal here. You can just speak it out. If there's something you would like to say as a way of teaching, the Bible says, let everyone that comes together have a tongue, have an interpretation, have a an exhortation, have a teaching. So if anybody's got anything to say, you can say that now. And they all, with one accord, began to be still. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Anybody need ministry here today of any kind? We're here to minister to you if you have any need for ministry. Praise God. Come. Come. Praise God. How do I know you? I know you from someplace, you know.
I don't know.
Well, it must just be the Spirit of God in us. What did you need today? Did you want to... What?
Clarification.
Clarification, all right. Clarification about...
A dream.
About a dream, all right. Do you mind being covered with a tallit? All right. Have you heard of the tallit? Do you know about the tallit? What is your background?
You mean what was I raised?
Yeah.
Irish Catholic.
An Irish Catholic. Wow. God loves those Irish Catholics. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Colleen, come around behind her if you would and just put your hands on her too. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Have you shared this dream with others? Mm-hmm. And is it something that that you feel for sure it's prophetic? You don't know that it's prophetic. It's just a dream that did it trouble you? Mm-hmm. It was a troubling dream. Thank you, Father. Oh, we love you, Father. We bless you, God. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Lord, as we put our hands on Sonia, we believe you, Father. We believe you for clarity. We believe you, Father, for understanding. Joseph said, God interprets dreams. God knows. God speaks the truth. It's not in man, but it's in God. So, Father, we just yield this to you right now. And, Father, this troubling part of it, that's the thing I see the concern about, Father. And we want to break the concern right now that's not of you. Lord, any part of this that is causing her to be troubled in her spirit, in her heart, we break that right now. And Father, we ask you, Father, that you give her clarity of those things that she needs to do. What she needs to do. First of all, Lord, if this was not from you, then we just cast it aside right now. We cast it aside right now, and the remembrance of it will just diminish immediately, and we thank you for that. But Lord, if there's something in here that you're speaking to our sister, then we know that you will show her. That you will bring it to her understanding and you will give her clarity of it. Oh, I thank you for it. I thank you for it, Father.
Yes.
Hallelujah. 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 Oh, dear. I've got to just tell you that I get the Psalm 91, that no evil shall befall you. No plague shall come nigh your dwelling. No evil shall befall you. No plague shall come by your dwelling. In the name of Yeshua, we thank you for that, Father. We thank you for that word. If any of you get something, you just speak it out. Just be obedient. We put ourselves completely under your hand today, Father. We don't want the workings of imagination to work in here, but the workings of the Spirit of God.
Yes.
Thank you, Father.
Spread the eyes of her heart.
Yes, Father. Yes, Father.
The mind of Christ in this matter. Just thank you.
You don't mind if I pray in tongues over you, do you? Moto si patasa, vole e basuta pacasi peto pramande ve e che la sua la mota fascia re e brumba a elekisa re imbore e ebra a cascinga da andela va dumbra me i yamoto ski papa la catu frascen nene nene keto prosa kata taba atalara ye da buta caprato cosceta lite va urnoma akasite. And the Spirit of God speaking that there's been a darkness that's been surrounding. There's been a darkness that's been trying to take hold, but the Spirit of the Lord says that He's going to bring forth light in the midst of that darkness. It's going to break forth, and the light will shatter. The light will literally shatter the works of darkness as it's going to begin to bring forth light in your life. That's going to begin to cause the workings and the things that you seem to know. It seems to me He's telling me that you know what He's called you to do, and that these things are going to become even more real in your life, and you're going to begin to do more of the things of the Spirit. You're going to begin to move more in the Spirit of God, and you're going to walk in the things of the Spirit. You're going to hear. You're going to hear clearly. You're going to hear clearly from when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, and that He's working a new thing in you, something that you've been called to, and you've known it for a long time, but He's going to begin to make it clearer and clearer in your life. You're going to begin to yield to it, and it's going to begin to take hold in you, and there's going to be a prophetic move of the Spirit of God that's working in your life. Prophetic in the sense that it's going to purify things and cleanse things. You're going to help many people. Many people are going to start seeing more clearly because of the gift that God's put in you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. I don't know what the darkness is, but I just right now come against that darkness that's been hindering, and that darkness that's been holding back. And we call forth right now the marvelous light of God. Right at this time, marvelous light. Shine forth. Shine forth. Bring forth great, great revelation, Lord God. Revelation in the things of the Spirit. We thank you, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you in the name of Yeshua. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Anything else anybody else has? Praise God. You don't have to be up here. If you've got a word that the Lord's given you, speak it out to her. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Lord says your children are precious to Him too. He just wants you to know that your children are very, very precious in His sight, and that you have a special ministry to them, and that you're training them upright. Keep it up. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Thank you, Father. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Anybody else need ministry today? Praise God.
I've had two dreams. One was really demonic, and then one after. It's where the dream thing was coming up that I need clarification for as well.
Okay. All right. All right. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord.
Oh, we thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father, for Rosemary. Thank you that she knows the Word of God. She knows the truth. And Father, I just know that you've been leading her, and that you've been doing a work in her, and that you've been drawing her closer. And Father, we come against those things that the enemy would do to hinder or hurt or tear down. We bind those right now in the name of the mighty name Yeshua. We break those strongholds. We cast down those strongholds right now in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you, Father, that those things which you have begun in her, and Lord, you have begun a good work in your daughter. I know that. I see it. I have watched it through the years, and have known that the gift of God is working in Rosemary, that there is something powerful in her. And Father, I know that there has been a hurt in the past a hurt that's caused her to back away. And I believe that I hear you say that she's to lay aside that pain, lay aside that hurt once for all, and to drive forward with a new fervor and a new zeal. Even as she spoke it herself at the beginning of the year, she said, "I want a new focus." So I see her coming forward even more and more. And Lord, I thank you that she will continue to do what you've called her to do in the body, and that new avenues are going to open up to her. I thank you for it. Yes. Praise you for it. We thank you for it in the name of Yeshua. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord just told me to tell you, Tammy, that... that even though there's been some discouragement, that it's about to end. And that you shouldn't stand back. You should continue with what the Lord showed you in the first place. And don't get gun shy. Don't get gun shy. And don't listen to religious people. Amen? Amen. Amen. Yes. Well, the blue generally speaks of the royal. Now, there could be other reasons, you know, for it. But, oh, you mean the blue actually. Yeah, in the tzitzit, the blue was the center, just generally, I believe it speaks of the king. That's what I think it spoke of, was the king in there. But, you know, there probably are other people that have different things. Do you know anything that the blue means other than that?
No, I've read in some of the messianic stuff, it's, since they've been fulfilled, so then they see the blue as Christ.
The blue is Christ, yeah. The king, yeah. Right. Amen. Mm-hmm. Someday, if you'd like to, we'll teach you how to tie tzitzit. They're fun to tie. And when you do that, we'll get the blue cord to go in the middle of them. We've never tied this one with a blue cord, but the blue cord in the middle is very nice. Very good. Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, lift your hands to the Lord. Bible says this. He said to Aaron, Moses told Aaron, "When you speak this blessing over my people, I'll put my name on them." I like that idea, don't you? God's name on me. You know, in Iraq, when we were going in there, we had... it's fun to have your hands up, isn't it? Praise God. We had smart weapons that could actually send explosives right through the window of a house. I mean, they could pick out one window. And the way that did was they did an electronic target was painted on those things. Now, you couldn't see it, but it was electronically painted on them. And I mean, once they turned loose of that armament, it had to go where it was going to go. I believe God has painted on each one of you His mark. Amen. And He's ready to put His name on you. And now may Yahweh bless you, keep you, and make His face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahweh lift up the light of His countenance upon you and give you shalom. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. In the name of Yeshua, Amen.